If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. And what a weekend. How about our team? How about
sweeping
the White Sox? The White Sox came in as the best team in the American League. And now you know who the best team in the American League is?
That's another one of those best teams in the American League who had a losing record against 500 or better teams.
Right.
Like, they're lamb killers. The A's are lamb killers. The White Sox are lamb killers. And the White Sox, the lamb killers became the lambs this weekend. Because the Astros, other than one game, they got smoked. Now, obviously, that one game, the Astros needed some late game heroics from Yordan to get the W. But other than that, you know, it was early ass kickings. The Astros put on opposing pitching, and a little bit of late on Saturday, where you were able to pile on a little bit and go from 6-3 and worrying about Stanek in the bullpen to, you know, here's a little extra home run from Carlos Correa, just a little something to.
Stanek did give a couple hits, right? So there was that. But otherwise, the bullpen was perfect all weekend.
The bullpen's actually been good for couple series.
Especially against a really good baseball team, can you get better performances out of what they got out of this pitching staff? I mean, I know the hitting, 8 runs, 10 runs, 7 runs, and then the 2 but with Yordan. But Urquidy looked great. He gave up 2 earned runs. He was in trouble early, and then that was it. Belak and Garza came in. It was a mop up role, but Garcia was unbelievable. I mean, he had the early trouble. He had the first inning that was you were like, "Holy crap, what's going on here?" And then just shut it down. Stanek and Presley come in and finish it up, and then Fromber with Stanek and Presley again, and Fromber with another two earned runs over 7 innings. And then Lance yesterday, he's got his ERA down to 2.90. He picked up his 4th win. Taylor came in and looked great. Garza is coming in mop-up roles and doing a nice job. This pitching set, I know everybody's talking about the runs and all the runs that they scored against this team, but holy crap, the pitching that they're getting right now is fantastic. And I got to say, you know, you got to have Alex Bregman, right? But listen, the way that he has been hitting lately, when you got Toro coming in 4-for-5, 2-for-4, when you got, they have gotten, and 1-for-2, they have gotten more production out of third base in this weekend than they had out of Bregman for a 2.5 week span.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Bregman had been awful, and Toro has come in a 4-hit night.
Well, we know who the better player is.
No, there's no question.
Yeah, so
but
I mean,
you know what? I think Bregman needed this.
It's a short-term thing. Maybe so, but it's kind of like Jeff Blum said. Right now, you get the feeling that you could throw – oh, no, it wasn't Blum. It was on the national broadcast, I think, on Saturday. They said – no, it was yesterday's broadcast. You get the feeling that you could literally just throw darts at any 9 and stick them in there. Yeah. And they're just going to roll people right now. That's how hot it is. It doesn't matter. I mean, Straw's been on a heater. You know what I mean? Like, Miles Straw's been on a heater for a little while. That's relative to him. So that's, yeah, Toro, Robel, had big hits the other day.
Yeah, huge. I mean, it's a three-run double.
It doesn't really matter right now. He said, as long as, you know, Altuve's in the leadoff spot, you can throw those darts. But so that's where they are right now. This is, it's not going to last like this where everyone's hot, but you get everyone hot like this. You were out Friday. I talked about this. They had a stretch gone where they had scored 6 runs or more in 9 of 10 games. And that was including game one of this series. We know they did it 2 more times. So now it's, that was in 9 of 10 games. So now we're 13. So now we're 11 of 13 games. They've scored 6 runs or more. They're the leading run scorers in the league. And they are right now just absolutely on fire from a starting pitching standpoint, too, which makes it, you know, you look at the starters, Zach Greinke has a 374, but Garcia, who got back to his winning ways, 282, Urquidy 365, 290, as you mentioned, for Lance. And then where's
Fromber?
Where's Fromber? They don't. I'm looking. Oh, here it is. Fromber 167. Is that, I mean, these are your starters.
167.
This is like something you see in the early 80s at the Cincinnati Reds. You know, or a. I don't. I'm trying to remember who their good rotations were. Maybe the Mets when they had Sid Fernandez and who was it who does broadcast now?
Darling.
Yeah, Ron Darling. It's like one of those teams and Dwight Gooden. I mean. You know, it's 167, 290, 365, 282, 374. Granted, today's offense has been, they hit a bunch of home runs, but we know the numbers have been down. But these guys really have been terrific, and you're getting the best performances that obviously you're getting a bounce back performance from Lance McCullers where he just has to stay healthy, but his stuff looks really, really good.
The only
good.
Problem is now is that. Over the next 10 games, you got Baltimore 6 times and Detroit 3 times. Well, the next 9, it's no, next 10, it's Baltimore 6 and Detroit 4. They play down to their competition. They need a good team to get the. And I could certainly see this road trip them going 4-3. You know, as opposed to just destroying these two teams.
Not if the bats are even remotely close.
Well, they got swept by Detroit at home before. So
yeah, but they weren't hitting like this.
No, but nobody's hitting like this. Nobody's. Do you see the OPSs on this team? Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. This is the Saturday night lineup. Altuve, nearly 900 OPS. Brantley, almost 900 OPS. Yuli, 900 OPS. Yordan, nearly 900 OPS. Carlos, 900 OPS. This is ridiculous how good this
is.
Well,
it's 2017 OPS numbers.
Yeah. It really is.
And Carlos was 900 in 2017.
It really is.
And he is 900.
Yeah, in his best year. And Carlos is back to that. Carlos is back to that where he is, you know, a cleanup spot yesterday in the lineup, deservedly so. You could just plug in Chaz McCormick in the two-hole. All right, we'll sit Yuli. That's fine. Bregman not here. That's fine. Doesn't matter. We'll play Toro, Jones, Maldonado,
that was
Straw,
a getaway
and
lineup.
McCormick.
Yeah, that was
and
a getaway lineup. And chased the starting pitcher in 2 innings, and they got rid of Lance. They got rid of Dallas.
Well, he's not a good matchup for this team.
No, but they still got rid of him.
How about though? I'm going to tell you this: Did you take a look at Lance Lynn's numbers before this game?
Great.
He was the prop. Might have been the best pitcher in the American League.
He was fantastic,
and they ran him out of the game. Kicked his ass.
Yeah, he was fantastic before yesterday. Yeah. I mean, before Saturday.
Unbelievable. And Rodon looked great. And they were able to scrap out a win with Yordan coming up with the big double and Yuli coming home. What a weekend. What a great weekend for this baseball team. Now with the best record in the American League. And rightfully so. Third best record in all of baseball. And this team is just playing so good. But again, Baltimore, you got to get up for those games. You just got to. And it's so hard for this team to get up against crappy teams. I'm telling you, they're going to play down to their competition. They're going to play down to their competition. They got to be able to mentally focus against these crappy teams. This is the remember when they were just lamb killers, and then you know this is the exact opposite. This is why you got some hope that
I think at 15 they were lamb killers. But it's okay if you have a softer division and you win the games you're supposed to win. You know, that's how you win football divisions. That's part of sports. Some teams are that way, and some teams are great teams. And the Astros, I don't know if they're a great team. They're a really good team with some potential for great hitting. But, you know, we may have to reassess. Now, right now, we're all excited about a starting lineup that, I mean, a rotation that is, you know, they don't have the pedigree necessarily of long-term success for Lance McCullers over the course of a season. Long-term success for, you've had it for Zach Greinke, but pretty much nobody else in the rotation. Odorizzi, you know, kind of. But the reality is, Garcia looks pretty legit this year. Fromber has officially arrived. There's no other way to say it. I mean, he is that Steve, not Steve Avery, but he's that Tom Glavine crafty lefty who just changes speeds and keeps you. You just don't put good. He's not dominant from an inning pitch to hits or any pitch to strikeout standpoint. But when do you see guys really hitting Fromber hard? You just don't see it. He's just really talented as a pitcher at you'll notice the ball drops at the bottom, drops out of the ball right as it gets to the zone, and that's why he keeps so many ground balls in the stadium, and I'm really happy with what they have right now. And I love the fact that Christian Javier's there to jump in and be a starter if need be. I don't love that he's only gotten 3 appearances in a whole month, and we're sitting here on the 21st right now. I mean, they got to keep his arm going. 3 appearances isn't a lot for Javier, but
that's a good problem to have. Yeah. That's a great problem.
Yeah, it's a good problem.
I'm surprised he didn't throw it all this weekend.
Yeah, I was. He threw the 16th, and then that was
instead of throwing.
He was going to throw on Saturday. I thought they might bring Javier in, even though with the 4-run lead. I thought, okay, they brought Presley in for a back-to-back. Back-to-back appearances.
Well, maybe they feel like they can do that because they got Javier sitting there.
Yeah, I guess so. I just think, you know, the Astros have already talked about they're going to start using him in 1 and 2 inning, like as a regular reliever now. Mm-hmm. But in a situation where he could have, now he had pitched on the 16th, that was the 19th, so it wasn't the end of the world that he didn't pitch, but I just thought they might get that arm, you know, get him a little bit of action at some point, even with the big lead this weekend. But I guess they want to have him ready because they are in the midst of 20 games and what is it? 20 days.
Yep.
So you're in the midst of 20 games in 20 days. Maybe they don't want to be frivolous from an inning standpoint with a guy who they know at any point might have to go 4.
Yeah. And you get Odorizzi tonight. Odorizzi tonight at Baltimore. You got Odorizzi, Greinke, and Urquidy as your 3 starters there. Then you've got, Luis Garcia. How about this? Detroit, take this: Garcia, Valdez, McCullers.
You know, that's the toughest 3 right now. Yeah. You really want to be honest about it. The 3 you talked about, Odorizzi, Greinke, and Urquidy, that's kind of a break if you want a break, because when you get Garcia, Fromber, and Lance McCullers, you got some pretty nasty stuff coming at you. And Baltimore is the worst team in baseball, or worst team in their division. One of the worst teams. Are they the worst team in baseball? Right now, you know what? They're the worst team behind the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're the worst team in baseball. The Baltimore Orioles.
That's why I don't. You got Arizona at 20-53.
Yeah, that's the set. Yeah, behind Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's they've got the fewest wins after Arizona. But that's what scares you.
Minus 82 run differential.
That's Astros, what scares you is Baltimore's one of the worst teams in baseball.
It's true. You sit there and you say, well, what can the Orioles do against the Astros?
Watch.
And you know what? I'll be happy getting 2 or 3 there. That's just the way it works. I don't know why. Why the Rangers are these big hecklers for them? Why the Tigers and why the Astros have those problems with those teams?
But I was just
it's on a heat check right now, so we'll see.
Yeah, I was just up there. Well, I was in Washington, but right up there in the area, and the weather can't be better. It was hot, but it's perfect at night. So they're going to have some hopefully some nice weather and take care of that business up there in Baltimore. We have got Dell. No, I know what it's like to be you. I know what it's like to be you, and I will explain that. On the other side.
Curious now.
Yeah, no, on the other side, right here. On ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, you're going to get your car washed or what?
How about Charisma Car Wash? Listen, guys, you got 9 more days today and nine more as it pertains to Charisma Car Wash's awesome offer. Now, even when that's gone, you're still going to have the awesome offer of a car wash that is just $6 when you, it's real quick, it's real fast, it's real easy, and it's also just $6 when you drive through for just a $6 car wash at one of the three Charisma locations. But listen, it's way better right now. Right now through the month of June, they've got $10 off. $10 off on the Ultimate Package and the Lava Package. And I've had so many people reach out to me and tell me thanks for giving them the hookup. It's a chance for you to get a great car wash that is going to have you sparkling with the full, it's basically the full works. And you can get that $14 wash for $4. You can get the Lava Wash, which is the best package they have, for $7, usually $17. Get it for $7. Three locations in Houston, Heights at North Loop between Shepherd and Yale. It's right next to the Starbucks. Upper Kirby between West Park and Bissonnette. And then Gulfgate, just inside Loop 610 behind the Lowe's in Gulfgate. Three locations. Use the promo code 5975. How easy could that be for your $10 off? 5975. They're open every single day from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Go check out the location nearest to you by going to Charisma Car Wash. Just go to charismawash.com and take advantage through the month of June at $10 off those two car wash packages.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. No lights come on when the crowd goes wild. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, hey, I'm telling you, I mean, that's not an easy feat to do. I don't care who you are and who you're playing. You know, our offense came alive, and they got some good arms over there. But, you know, our offense was outstanding. We got good pitching. You know, we played good defense, ran the bases well. And, you know, now we're back tied for first place.
First place, best team in the American League. By percentage points over the A's. 606 winning percentage versus 603. So, but that's, you know what? Sorry. Best team in the American League, right here. Resides right here. And I don't think there's any, I don't know. I'm just going to put a guess on this. They have to have the best record in the league against winning teams. I don't even know that's, I mean, what they do against good teams is unbelievable. How good they are against good teams. Yeah. So, Dale, now I teased. I know what it's like to be you.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you helped Lance out with his college basketball? Remember when you gave him some picks?
Yes, I do.
So, I mean, he threw a bunch of cash at you, right?
What I'm going to do now is help Lance out by turning his mic on because he spent I don't know, a minute of this, this segment not turning his mic on.
Oh. Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
He threw a bunch of cash at you after that, right?
He eventually got some shoes.
Yes.
Oh, he did get some shoes.
I got him some
baby boots. The baby got a new pair of shoes?
Baby got a new pair
of shoes. Well, it was a Game of Thrones limited edition.
It was.
Had Dale never worn them ever, they'd be worth about $400 right now.
Really? Yeah, my kids destroyed theirs.
I wear my icy White Walker shoes.
Yeah, I got JT I got Frankie, the mother of dragon shoes, and she destroyed them.
Respect for the money you spent. That's surprising.
That's not. Yeah, it's not surprising.
Did she immediately put them in the driveway and just roll over them?
Yeah. But she likes them beat up. So this weekend, Thursday morning, Lance was asking me a few golf questions.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think he won this weekend? You won on any of the picks?
I mean, did you give him? I remember he was talking about, was it Oosthuizen at one point?
Yeah, he had Louis, he had Morikawa,
mm-hmm.
he had Kepka against DeChambeau.
Yeah, and that worked out for him.
It didn't look great. About hole number 10, it was like, wow, DeChambeau. And DeChambeau had one of the biggest, they called it one of the worst nine holes. They said it's easily the worst nine holes in his career without question.
He said, he claims he didn't have a meltdown.
Yeah, he said it's just golf. That's just golf. I didn't go off the rails.
Quadruple. Oh, really? He is not a, I mean, he was literally five under in leading the tournament at the turn.
Yeah.
And he ended up plus three. What is he talking about?
With a quad.
Well, listen to him.
What is he talking about?
Listen to him. He was like, nah, that's just how golf is.
I didn't get off the rails at all. It's golf. You know, people are going to say that, you know, I did this or I did that, and it was honestly just golf. I've had plenty of times where I've hit it way worse than I did today, and I've won. So, you know, it's one of those things that I just didn't have the right breaks happen at the right time.
Okay.
He hit one sideways. What is he talking about?
Just golf, John. You heard him.
He hit one off of a beer, a 12-pack of beer. What is he talking about? He could not have hit it worse on that. He was blading it through the green. He was awful on that back nine. What are you talking? No, you were off the rails. Off the rails.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. He was clearly off the rails.
How about the way John Rahm stepped up, though?
It was impressive.
Those two putts.
So the 17, 18, he knocks down birdie putts, and they weren't shorties.
No.
Like, they were legit. He had to earn those putts, and it was the whole – he had the lowest round of the tournament.
Well, of the day, 67.
Well, the day. Oh, I guess there was another 67, too. Hensley had that, right, early?
Oh, yeah. Were there more than
there weren't a bunch of them.
There were a few of them. A couple. Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Well, he was Rahm. He was just stalked. I mean, you saw his name down there, like, you know, he's a little ways away. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, he just kept coming up. And then the charge down the stretch was just so impressive. And then they spent so much time showing him and his new baby, because his baby is born right there. You know, wasn't that long ago? His baby is born at during the Masters. And of course, in my text string, it was put out there. Look at Phil. Phil Mickelson's already trying to move in on John Rahm's wife while he's out on the course, or while he's finishing up at the driving range, just in case it goes to.
Know that Phil's brother was Rahm's coach at Arizona State, right?
They probably don't know that.
They don't know that.
So I would doubt it.
So they're saying there's an in. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, so what they're saying is this is a viable.
So now
in.
We got a
yeah.
Now I got my in there.
Now I would be more worried about DeChambeau. I got to tell you, I didn't know anything about DeChambeau until I knew the name, and then of course he got yoked up during the pandemic. He came back like 25 pounds stronger, and it was immediate like, huh, this is curious. But I always, you know, the Koepka stuff. He was always a little suspect with this sweet thongs that he was wearing and all that, with doing videos of that. But Brooks Koepka seems eminently more likable than DeChambeau. DeChambeau just seems like a total chode. Just the comments he makes, just the way that he trolls over the top with Brooks Koepka. Just yesterday, his comments, he just sounds like such a douche. Golly.
He really does. He is.
I mean, he's obviously very talented, but.
But no, he's not. He is. I'm telling you, he is the Trevor Bauer. He's very hateable.
That was a perfect definition.
He's very hateable.
I can see that. Very, very good and very hard to like. But Louis Oosthuizen, how about the fact he has six second place finishes in majors now?
Unbelievable. He played great all weekend. And, he was my pick because of how straight he hits it. You have to hit it straight here. That's why DeChambeau, I was so shocked. Shocked after winning at Wingfoot. He was the only guy under par at Wingfoot the year before. You know, and you had it was, you know, that U.S. Open. This rough was so penal that I thought there's no way that DeChambeau's going to be and compete. And he obviously was and then wasn't anymore. But Oosthuizen just played great all week. He just couldn't come up with those putts. John Rahm won it. Nobody lost it. Oosthuizen played well. He shot even par on Sunday at the U.S. Open, where all the pins are tucked. The grass is grown. They're not cutting anything down. When you shoot even par at a U.S. Open and you're you're five under for the tournament, you played great. And he just didn't win. That's all. Rahm came up with a huge putt. So that was fun. That was a lot of fun yesterday watching that. It was a lot of fun watching our Astros all weekend long. it wasn't so much fun watching Ben Simmons. That wasn't nearly as fun.
We had two. Well, we had, well, since we were gone, and we got. Oh my gosh, we got a lot.
Yeah.
We had two game sevens. James is out, so the dream of the James and James gang out. And if you want to throw Daryl Morey in, if you're somebody who says I want all the Rockets out of
well,
there, you had that the, happen. It was a. It,
that's
your
the
Christmas
two that
miracle.
Worked there. Are there. Is this a Rockets? A bit of a Rockets curse? Those are the two that worked their way out of here.
Yeah,
just said I'm out, and I'm listening. I'm going to spend the time with my daughters. Because I really, you know what? They're growing up. I've got, you know, I want to spend some time. And I'm taking the Sixers job. What? What? Wait, what? I thought you were going to spend with your daughters. Oh, you're going to, a week later, you take the Sixers job?
Man, your bias is just leaked through.
Yeah, boy, your bias.
Or whatever, his daughter. Whatever. He was taken off so he could spend time at home.
I thought it was to, you know, work on his craft of playwriting.
Well, that needs work too. But he didn't spend enough time on that either. So 1 week later, he's with the Sixers. James puts on a fat suit. Guess what?
Gone.
I'm out of here. Guess what? Beat it out of the playoffs. Morey, beat it out of the playoffs.
Yeah. And I mean, in disappointing fashion, the top two teams in the East. And granted, so yesterday, let's work backwards. Yesterday, the Hawks eliminated Philadelphia in Philadelphia. And unfortunately, I think Ben Simmons must have had a bad hamstring, too, because he couldn't.
In his hand?
He couldn't jump.
Yeah, he had a hamstring.
In his brain?
Yeah. Games 2 through 7, he took one shot in the fourth quarter.
Honestly, he is mentally wrecked.
No, he's done.
And Daryl Morey loves frees and threes. He's terrible at both. And yes, and he did so much damage. I don't know that I've ever seen a player like he looks completely untradeable.
What can you
now.
Okay? What can you get for Ben Simmons?
He
right now?
Looks untradeable. Daryl, better get ready to start collecting your draft picks to trade away again. Daryl, you better do the old special. You thought the Kemba Walker deal that they had to give away a first for Al Horford? They had to give away Kemba and a first for Al Horford. You thought that was something? That's nothing. What you're going to have to do to get rid of Ben Simmons?
He wants anyone of value back.
Yeah, I mean, this is. Do you think this is going to be a Chris Paul trade where he has to swap picks just to get rid of him?
Ben Simmons is now mentally shot, is what it looks like. He looks like he's meant his fear of having to shoot free throws. He's off the ball all the time now.
He doesn't want to touch it.
It was unbelievable. And Tori sent this earlier in the show. He said GM of the year is Rafael Stone for not falling for the Ben Simmons greatness trade. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather have the Nets draft picks than Ben Simmons now. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No.
I mean, Ben Simmons would have got numbers for the – don't get me wrong. Ben Simmons wouldn't be the same guy here. But you know what Ben Simmons – you know his limitations now. And that is really,
Ben
really
Simmons.
Scary.
I'm calling that dude Nick Anderson until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
He is. Can't – oh, it was awful. When he passed up on the dunk – And even Embiid talked about it after the game. I feel like when it was 86-84 and we were 2 points down and we passed up on a shot and got one free throw, that was the game. It was pretty much the game.
I mean, Embiid, you had a costly turnover when Danilo stripped you. Look, the Sixers aren't – none of them guys are – maybe outside of Steph Curry. None of those dudes can, like, shuck off some blame. But, ooh-wee, when you're – look at their three highest-paid guys. Tobias Harris went 8 for 24. Embiid had 8 turnovers, and Ben Simmons was Ben Simmons.
He had 8. Embiid had 8 turnovers.
8 turnovers.
Embiid was not. Had some turnovers.
He's a center.
So bad.
Well, yeah, he's a center.
Outlet passes.
He's playing.
That were
he's
missing.
Hurt. And he's a center who they want to be their main shot creator
he's
for everyone.
He's isolating at the top of the key. He's a center.
What did you want him to do?
There's nobody else.
Hey, and here's the bad news for Daryl Morey and Philadelphia. They got nothing. I mean, you did a great job on Trae Young. They got relatively nothing from him, but some redhead mobster from Maryland was rolling Seth Curry. That should never be a game. 7 should never be Herder versus Seth Curry. Like, that shouldn't make or break a whole game 7 in any era.
It did. 7:31 ESPN 97.5.
Look at these that guys are playing against.
Yeah, the Gallinari strip was just huge.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick one. 713-780-3776. This is the shortest break in the world. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Is there an element, you know, of self-reflection that has to be done in that? And, you know, is there, are there, what are the lessons to be learned for you?
That we lost and we want to win. You know, if it was the same team, Austin, I would actually justify that question. But since it's two different teams, you know, listen, this team last year got swept in the first round. We had a chance to go to the championship, to the Eastern Finals. I'm not going to make this into a negative year.
What about
Doc? Just salty because he has to face that line of question all the time. Can Doc
get off that loser BS? It's a different team because the parts around it are different, but your three main guys are the same three main guys. The three max guys are still the three max guys.
Yeah. Well,
you have a big three of Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid.
Ben Simmons is making 30. Good Lord.
He's making 30 right now. He'll make 40 by the end. He's got 4 years left.
Good Lord.
He's a max dollar guy. So good luck, Daryl, moving that contract. That one's going to take, you're going to have to pony up a bunch of draft picks once again. And you know what? I would not say it's over on the Ben Simmons as a Rocket front. If they're willing to give up draft picks, the Rockets might be willing to take it.
Is Ben Simmons, there's no way you can bring Ben Simmons back to Philadelphia, right?
Oh, that city is going to, I can only imagine. Yeah, but that city is going to murder him.
But if you can't get anything for him, Daryl will trade you a Brock Osweiler trade, a Chris Paul trade.
Daryl has, and even before then, Daryl has managed to make some of the most incredible deals relative to getting rid of contracts very, very quickly. I mean, Anderson is, the Chris Paul was one where you knew you're dead to rights. Ryan Anderson, you knew that contract would be tough, but he's made deal after deal with contract after contract. He's got a long history of this. On the flip side, if you want to just be wide open about it, you say, okay, Ben Simmons for the year did this, and Ben Simmons for his career has done this, and Ben Simmons right now is just in a bad place for this particular team. But listen, the 76ers are not the Rockets style of one guy of a 1-4 set where it's everything's outside the paint. They have motion. They have movement. They are moving towards the basket. Like, that offense is not a – that was not a Daryl Morey type of offense. That's an offense that should benefit Ben Simmons. And yet, he was so terrified of having the ball in his hands and being fouled. He's so mentally shot with the free throw stuff that he is the most passive star that I have ever seen. This is a complete and total waste of money. The fact that the 76ers can't go back and get some of that money – means the Player Association has done an amazing job, because he is going to be in thievery mode right now if this goes on at all. This is like a player not being able to throw back to the pitcher, a catcher not being able to throw back to the pitcher, or when Altuve started having his hiccups, only way worse. Ben Simmons can't play in the fourth quarter.
Mm-mm.
He can't shoot a three.
He's a terrible shooter.
He can't make free throws. And now he's mentally exhausted and scared to even be on the court.
If you're a contender, why would you want Ben Simmons when your goal is to win a title?
No, Ben Simmons has got to go to an Orlando.
You have him for 82, and then you know in a postseason. Mm-hmm.
But if you're a tanking team and the goal is to get good enough to be really good, why would you take him on?
Contender won't take him.
Because how are you going to get rid of him?
Well, let's hear from Doc on whether or not he is a championship point guard.
Well,
and this is his head coach. Asked afterwards whether or not Ben Simmons is a championship point guard.
Oh, boy.
Can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
Ooh, wow. That's a ringing endorsement. Here's the thing, though. I would have answered a little bit. I would have said, listen, you're not a championship guard until you win a championship. So he's not one yet.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Doc's answer was, I hope we get his ass out of here.
Michael Jordan took 8 years to win a championship. So you're not championship.
I don't know if I'd have thrown the MJ move at
that one. Well, probably not the MJ. It's a bad one. But you're not a championship point guard until you win. And they're not even close.
I feel like Doc had a more accurate answer than your answer, though. Yours was the better PR spin.
Yeah.
But Philadelphia fans want? They want Doc's answer.
Yeah. Well, Doc's answer was, right now? I don't know how you can say that. I don't know.
Does he look like it to you? That would have been the most real answer.
But Ben Simmons has always been this. I mean, there's why this isn't like he changed his spots. This is Ben Simmons.
All right, let's switch it over to James for a second. I say James just because it's the Nets. The Nets were eliminated at home, and honestly, they had a 5-point lead late in that game, and then a 4-point play happened for I think it was a 5-point lead. A 4-point play happened where you had a free throw made by Holiday, and then he makes a three and then missed free throw. They had a couple of these missed rebound opportunities late in that game that really, really, really cost the Nets. But it was a tip back out, hit the three. And before you know it, it was, they took Kevin Durant hitting this miracle turnaround shot to go to overtime, where his toes were just barely on the line, which caused it from being a game-winning three to just a two. They went to overtime, but here's the thing. If you're the Nets, and we care here because of two things. James Harden, former Rocket.
See ya.
So we can, talk about that. But also the draft picks, the Nets draft picks. So Kevin Durant did everything he could in this playoff series. I mean, he was phenomenal. But there were times where the fact that he couldn't trust his teammates led him to take some very bad shots, and including the very last shot that was an air ball. But if you think about it, who was he going to trust? James legitimately, and I know people are already making the excuses about the hamstring, and it is a built-in, and he made sure everyone knew he had a grade 2 hamstring thing. Like, that was the first thing in the press conference. He was telling people what it was. They asked him. He was more than happy to share it, and that's fine. He played hurt, and you got to give him credit. But we saw a half where James played good basketball. We saw that in what, game 5, Dale? Game 5, James Harden had 14 points in the first half. James Harden had threes. James Harden got to the basket. James played better basketball. He didn't want the ball in his hands at all in the fourth quarter or in overtime. Kevin Durant had every single possession. Joe Harris was just pathetic in the last 5 games of this. But James Harden, I'm not asking for James Harden to have. He had 22, 9, and 9. You know, on the surface, you go, well, that's pretty good. That was in 52 minutes or 53 minutes, and almost none of that came in the fourth quarter other than James got a lucky bank-in three-pointer as the shot clock was expiring. I do think, and I'm mentioning James because we talk about James a lot, so I know it's going to sound like I'm picking on him, but I do think that even when you're a little, if you're playing in a game, I get that that's the excuse is there for the hamstring, but if you are playing in a game and you're playing 52 minutes, it's okay to step up and make a play or two. It's okay to compete a little harder. James had the deer in the headlights look again where he had no interest in it. Now he's got the built-in excuse with the hamstring. But this is deja vu for Rocket fans. What you do is you say, well, this happened because of this, and now you go to the offseason, and then he'll start off great next year. He'll be on an MVP course. We saw this so many seasons in a row where you just, let's just forget about this playoff failing. And this is the time where you legitimately can say, okay, if Kyrie Irving was there, they would have moved on. And I think they would have won in 5 games if Kyrie were there. Might have been a sweep because they would have won game 3. They would have won game 3 for sure. And they'd be up 3-0, and who knows what would have happened. But without Kyrie, Kyrie was the one they really missed more than James, because this is what James does in big games. He just does not want to have to make those shots if there's somebody else who will do it. Whether Kyrie, Chris Paul.
Kyrie did play all of game 3. He got injured in game 4.
Oh, did he play all of game 3?
He played 45
minutes.
Oh,
that's right. He did.
Yeah, it was
And they still got beat in a bad game for both teams. Yeah. Low scoring.
Well, James wasn't there, though. So, they didn't have the big 3. So, how many times does James' name come up in the play-by-play of the fourth quarter?
I mean, besides fouling guys? Or you mean actually shot? No.
Oh, I mean, well, honestly,
how many times just comes up, period?
Okay, 3 times.
6.
What were they? He made that bank in 3.
Well, one of them he entered the game. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, no, that one.
Are we counting that?
No, that one doesn't count. That one, you just entered the game.
Okay.
So James Harden, defensive rebound. There's a positive.
Yep.
And then right after that, like 11 seconds later, James Harden, bad pass. So there's
Did you see? I didn't think about it. It was about 4.5 minutes ago. The Nets are up by four. They get a stop. KD's leaking out. And there goes the sound. James throws a almost full-length pass at Chris Middleton.
And then there's the second one. That's just 2 minutes later. This is the third one. So James Harden, bad pass. Chris Middleton steals.
So there's three turnovers. Two of them are bad.
Two of them are bad. Now, James did have that bank in, like you said.
Bank in three.
Yeah, the bank in three. James Harden, personal foul. Okay. That's three of them are bad out of the four so far.
That's five. No, the bank in three.
Oh, not yet. I haven't gotten that yet.
Oh, okay.
So you got that. James Harden, bank in foul. That's five.
Right.
That bank in three. That's five. And, personal foul and shooting foul. That's the six. Four of them were bad.
Four of the
two
six
turnovers, two fouls.
That's what I'm saying. People are going to say, "Well, this take
a
is
rebound
trash.
And a three.
You got a trash take." Now, if you go look at the other quarters, you don't see that. You'll see James more engaged in the game,
taking shots.
Yeah, in the last quarter, James had a defensive rebound and a bank in three, and that was it. He had two turnovers and two personal fouls. This is what I'm saying. You can make an excuse for him. I'm not asking for James to be regular James. I get that he has a hamstring injury, but you have to do what you did in the second quarter, in the third quarter. Go out there and perform. Go out there and try. Go out there and have some confidence. Make a play. If he makes three plays in the fourth quarter, three plays on the offensive end in the fourth quarter, they win that game.
I'll give him some credit. He did early in that first quarter make a floating jump shot after he checked in. So that was his one bucket in that, besides the bank in three. The epitome of James Harden is what we saw in that overtime. His boy, who brought him in because, hey, we're going to come win a championship here, is tired, exhausted, nothing left. Steve Nash doesn't call a timeout, maybe call a timeout to get KD one more rest before he takes the last shot. KD gives the ball to James right around half court. James goes, "What are you giving me the ball for? I don't want this."
Mm-hmm. Right,
gives it right back to him.
Right back.
It's
to
the
him.
Epitome of what we know him to be.
That's not the alpha. James has very little alpha in playoff games when it's late and it's a big time elimination type game. It's just years and years of this stuff that we have seen, and it's true. People don't want to believe it's true. James, people didn't want to believe it's true forever. But there's so much sample size, and now you use the excuse. And what the Nets fans are going to do is, it was a hamstring. That's all it got. But what they don't realize is it would have happened regardless, more than likely. James is fine with giving the ball up in those, "Hey, Chris, take over this." Remember when it was Chris Paul just take over the game and James stepped off to the side? And it's easy to say, well, James is, because James is a team player. I mean, he really is. He's not a natural ball hog. I think he'll shoot because he knows he's going to be the best player on certain teams. But when he's not, like with Kevin Durant, he's more than happy of just backing away, especially in situations like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And and it won't be positioned that way. It'll be positioned as James played hurt, which is fine because that was accurate too, and I give him credit for doing that. But I saw that same mentality of what I did in the first, second, and third quarters, even though I was hurt then too, the fourth is going to look a little different, but also a little familiar for some fans. And the fourth, and especially as Del mentioned, the overtime where it was like he might as well be Joe Harris. Like there was no difference. Joe Harris, James Harden, it was the same guy.
746 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. The number to hang with us here. You're more than welcome to get in. We got more basketball. We haven't even gotten to the Sun. So let's do that on the other side here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about my man, Scott McGrath, over at McGrath Pest Control. We got the mosquito murdering system at home. It's spectacular. Telling you, we've been out there and there's no mosquitoes out there. And, we got train tracks behind us where there's, the people toss stuff and everything. So there's mosquitoes all around there and nothing. We got nothing in our backyard because it is awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, if you got any bugs in your house, I mean, that's gross. So if you've got fleas, if you got fleas, what's wrong with you? Ants, roaches, fleas. bed bugs. Do you have if you have bed bugs, something is seriously wrong with you. So get rid of them. You have to get rid of them. And one guy does that every single day. And he's been doing it in this city for years and years, decades now. And he does it as well or better than ever. And it's locally owned and operated. And that's what we want. Right? Nowadays, this is what we want. Don't go with a national company. Go with Scott McGrath. Personalized service. Unbelievable service. He's been great. I've been using him ever since. Whenever, you know, we got to home, we've got Scott McGrath there. 281-469-8240. 281-469-8240. Or McGrathPestControl.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't know what to say. It's just, you know, we gave everything we had. Just having to deal with injuries throughout the course of the year, you know, set us back. You know, whether it's Kevin twice, myself twice, Kai in the postseason, like it's just over. It's draining, and it's very, very difficult to, you know, fight through that. You know, when basically the three best players, you know, are in and out of the lineups. So we just got to take care of our bodies and be ready to go for next one.
Will they? Okay, so after the first one where the Heat, we knew the Heat was going to win with LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. We knew that
was going to happen. They were one loss in Boston away from breaking it up. Remember, they were down 3-2 in that series in the conference finals. So it's never guaranteed.
It's not LeBron guaranteed. Had to it wasn't go guaranteed. Nuclear. But I, you know what? That was going to be a long term. I don't know that this is going to be a long term combination of the three.
There are some elements that are, I think, a little bit.
Kyrie's so flaky.
Kyrie is flaky. You never know if he and James will ever, you know, start to chirp back and forth. I think James is willing to take a role as a number two. That's not a but Charles was too, and Clyde was too, but they want to be number threes. So that's going to be interesting to see how long this can last. If somebody feels like a number three, there's more shots now in the NBA, so maybe that's not a big deal. Like Charles was a post up, you know, dribble down, back it down. So the offense is different. Everyone's going to be able to get a touch. That may not be the issue. But the bigger issue is James is 31, and maybe he is starting to break down a little bit. I don't think James stays in great physical, top physical condition at all times. I think he does work at it. But I think that if you go back and look at James Harden in a Rocky uniform 4 years ago, you look at muscular definition, James has put on a little more baby fat. He has. Kevin Durant's 32, and both of these guys have played a ton of minutes, right, John? Yeah. But Kevin Durant's coming off of an Achilles, which he certainly made his way back. But it's not crazy to think that guys who have this many minutes on their legs could start to break down a little bit. That's not crazy.
No. Well, James is sitting down a lot, watching stuff.
But he also plays a lot.
Is James still up this morning from last night?
Well, he didn't play last night.
It wouldn't be last night.
So you think...
No. He didn't play last night. That's exactly why I'm asking if he's still up.
Oh,
I mean, possibly. It's almost 8.
No,
he's
not still.
The question
up.
Is, I think he would have is he still in the continental United States?
Who
right
did Daryl call?
That's a fair question.
Who did Daryl call when he signed? Was it Chris Paul when he signed Chris Paul? When he got the Chris Paul deal, he called James at 4 in the morning. He said, "I knew James would be up."
I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear that one? No.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. He said, "I knew James would be up." Everybody laughed.
I think you both asked questions. Is James still up, and is he in the continental U.S.? I think those are both fair. Is he on a boat somewhere right now? Yes or no?
No. Very well could
is
be.
He with Rick Ross right now? Yes or no?
Very well.
Well, actually,
the little baby.
Wasn't Travis Scott at all the Nets games? Wasn't that him?
Yeah, that was Travis Scott.
Yeah, maybe he's with Travis.
Yeah, he's
right
probably
now
with Travis.
Well, what happened to little baby in his luggage? Well, he got luggage.
The little baby traveled to all the games.
Duh baby
Scott did, or duh baby? Right?
Oh, it's not
duh
little baby.
Well, there's two of them.
Yeah.
Well, duh baby is his friend though.
I thought little baby was his friend.
No, duh baby's the one that he gave the honey buns in the bag.
No,
to.
I think little baby's the baby one he gave the honey buns to.
Yeah.
It was the baby is a different dude.
I know, but which one? Wait, it was
no, it's Lil Baby. Lil John's baby. Right.
Yeah, I know my rap.
Yeah, I know. I should never question John.
Dub Baby is a completely different person who James didn't give Honey Buns to.
No, it's Honey Buns and suitcases.
He gave it to Lil
Baby? Know he's got to be with Lil Baby.
You sure? Because Travis Scott was driving very
around.
Loyal.
They were during COVID, they were driving around in that little sports car, breathing on each other and stuff.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Hold up. No, I don't think y'all are right.
No, I looked it up. It's Google.
The party was with the baby, though.
Lil.
No, you're right.
It's Googleable.
Lil.
Yeah, you're right. It was Lil
Baby.
Don't
know your Lil.
You know,
you got,
no, you're
baby. You don't know your Lil.
I know.
From Dove,
I'm sorry. Dove. I challenge you on your rap knowledge.
You don't know nothing.
Let's get. Is it Jevin or Javon in here? Wants to talk about the Bucks.
What's up, Javon?
Hey, fellas. Hey, two quick points, man. If Budenholzer and the Bucks don't win a championship, he should be fired because that team sucks. You know, they look terrible, coach. Like, I don't know what the deal was with that play. They try to do the inbound of low pass, end up getting the ball and basically wasting the clock. And my other point is, down the stretch when KD is killing the Bucks, why is Giannis not guarding him? He's supposed to be the defensive MVP. He's supposed to be league MVP, but you got P.J. Tucker on him who's getting killed. And then he fouls out, and you put Chris Middleton on him, and the whole time Giannis is not guarding. Who is he guarding? Joe Harris? There's nobody else to guard. So it just befalls me that you got the defensive MVP, but yet he refused to guard KD down the stretch. And KD's lighting you up. So that's all I got.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And you can mix up.
Well,
yeah.
I will say one thing. You saw Giannis during timeouts, right? We talk about KD being exhausted. All those dudes had nothing left. And the dude's gone for 40 in an overtime game. Maybe you save some of his energy to go try to get buckets because the Bucks weren't actually – not like the Bucks were efficient offensively.
No.
I get it. You want to see the best from the best. But Giannis has another job to do just like KD does. And, I mean, the dude did go for 40.
It's true. However, you know, at that point, you know that if you can slow Kevin Durant, which he kind of is a self-slow guy. Like, he just ran out of gas. At that point, if you slow, because Kevin Durant missed a little mid-range jumper from about 14 feet, and then he missed also the turnaround three. Those are two of I think the final two shots that he missed in that game. But you also know, Dell, if you can get stops on Durant, that game is over because they have nobody else who can score on that.
Well,
game.
They got literally stops in that overtime. I think the Nets only scored one bucket.
Hey, P.J. Tucker hung in. He made it uncomfortable. He made Durant work. I mean, Durant put numbers up and
put 48 up.
Yeah. I mean, put numbers up, but you ultimately just have to make Durant work. There's nothing you can do. He's going to shoot over PJ.
You know, Durant, listen.
He started settling.
It was all Durant. Now, Brown had a nice game, and Blake Griffin had some buckets, too. But at least Giannis has some guys. He's got Middleton who can make some buckets, Connaughton who can make some buckets. He's got Drew Holiday, who wasn't good.
He was terrible. A little stretch where he made some shots.
That's all you need in a game.
But at least
like
he's
that.
Got some guys he can go to that can touch the ball.
I mean, Brook Lopez.
Well, James Harden's
the
out there.
Huh? Catching the
James
ball.
Harden's out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm
really.
Saying, though.
Not really.
But James Harden.
Joe not really. James
all
Harden.
He had to do was make two plays in the fourth quarter. Just a couple shots. Just two, you know, step up and have.
Yeah, I mean, he did have two baskets. He did
eight and a quarter. Yeah.
He had two baskets. So give it up for James. He made two baskets in the fourth quarter.
He didn't want to touch the ball. Now, his comment about Budenholzer, I kind of feel the same way. If you can't beat – I was just thinking about this down the stretch. The Sixers are mentally shot. So if you couldn't beat them, and then you look at – I mean, that was a team that gave up 18-point leads or more to the Suns twice at home. The 76ers tricked that off so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Those fans, they tricked out those leads, and then you look at the Hawks. Honestly, it feels like the Suns are going to run anybody I think the Suns are going to run everybody off the court.
The Suns are
right
certainly
now.
The most healthy because no one's talking about it.
And they're the most explosive.
They went on and won that series, but the Hawks are missing two wings and Reddish and DeAndre Hunter, who two first round picks are actually pretty good players. And then Bogdanovich gets hurt too. So
listen, Drew Holiday was pining for he said, "I am the defensive MVP this year." So we'll find out how good he is against Trey.
Yeah, that's true. And I think as Trey left, he said this.
I ain't like that dirty ass trash ass city.
That's what Trey said. I heard him say it. I heard him right there say it. Time to talk a little. All right, 713-780-3776. Some Texans kind of news. I don't know. We'll talk a little Texans on the other side right here on ESPN 97. At least we got an update. We got an update from Tony Busby and Rusty Harden. So we'll talk about that on the other side. But right now, what we got is insurance, Lance.
TGS Insurance. And you better hope you have insurance. You have to have insurance if you have a house. You got to have homeowners insurance. Well, who are you using? What are you using? And this is where I come in. TGS Insurance aggregates A-rated insurance companies, and they want to make sure that you get a competitive rate available to you. And if you don't have a competitive rate, then I guarantee you, you have been throwing away money for more than 1 year. If you don't have a competitive rate, that means you never shop for your homeowner's insurance. And that means you have been throwing away thousands of dollars. And that's not an exaggeration. The average savings for TGS is $900. So this is your big opportunity to shop homeowner's insurance. I know for some of you, it's scary to leave whoever your insurance agent has been for years and years. But I'm telling you, the coverages are going to be the same. The difference is going to be price in many, many cases once you hit the A-rated insurance, once you hit that entry point. And that's what they're offering you, A-rated insurance companies with competitive rates. They want your business, so they want to give you a competitive rate. Take advantage of it, put the money back in your pocket, and have that peace of mind of knowing that you still have great coverage. Make sure that you text the word money to 232323. Text the word money to 232323 or go to tgsinsurance.com.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.